What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pickleball Connection podcast. I'm Barrett.
And I'm Danae.
We're super stoked to hang out with you today. Without further ado, let's just get right into today's topic. Danae, take us away here.
So the first topic we're actually going to talk about is about Major League Pickleball. So if you guys aren't familiar, this is a separate kind of tour than the PPA, although it's owned by the same kind of group of people. And Major League Pickleball is the team competition format of professional pickleball. So this is where there's like four people on a team, two guys, two girls, and there's like a bunch of teams and they're competing. It's really fun in different format from the regular PPA or APP scene. And a bunch of the owners just got together this past week and they kind of had a whole meeting and updated a lot of the rules as it pertains to Major League Pickleball. And some of them are like pretty crazy. Like when I saw some of them release, I don't know if you felt the same way, but I was like pretty shocked. So I think what we'll do is maybe we'll kind of go over some of the main points as a whole, and then we'll kind of dive into them.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so this is kind of the list of the 2025 competition updates. So the new season is bringing some exciting changes to Major League Pickleball. The first change is roster expansion. Premier rosters, so there's two different kind of sections, Premier and Challenger. Premier rosters now include six players, three men, three women. Player eligibility, the UPA contracts are required for all players. Don't worry, we'll kind of break each of these down. I just want to kind of go through all of them. Playoffs, there's going to be 10 Premier teams and all six Challenger teams qualify. Roster moves, key dates set for players, keepers, free agency, trades, and waiver wire. There's going to be a mid-season tournament. Extra points are up for grabs. And scoring, sign-out scoring is back for doubles, and drinking breakers will stay to rally scoring.
Yeah, so we know that's a lot. So if you weren't kind of already familiar with how this worked, this is a lot different. So let's start with kind of going backwards here. Let's start with rally scoring. So traditionally, you know, in the PPA tour, so the non-team events, because you have MLP, think about it as your team event, PPA tour, non-team kind of partner event. There's side-out scoring, meaning you can only score on your serve. But the way MLP has been is you can score when you're not serving. So it's rally scoring. And what do you think some of like the advantages or disadvantages to rally scoring are?
So it's interesting. People, I think, that are most passionate about like this topic when it's come to Major League Pickleball. Rally scoring, what's interesting about it is it makes it really close. Like games that you feel like there should be a bigger gap between the team's scores end up being closer. Part of that's because of rally, but also I wonder how much of that was due to the freeze.
Right.
The freeze was last year, I think they did it at 24.
They've changed it like three times.
They've changed it so much. But basically, like it was rally scoring. There was a point on every serve until the last point you had to, the last 2 points.
They've changed it like three times.
Yeah. They had it where you had to like freeze and then you had to win the last point or two on your serve. But that made it so teams really had like close scores. So that was a little interesting to watch. And I've always said this, rally scoring to watch is very fun. Rally scoring to play is not as fun to me. Like I don't like that it seems to favor the underdog, especially when you are clearly ahead and you're disadvantaged with the freeze. Again, it makes it really interesting as a consumer of the product, as a watcher of a product. I think when you're playing, you're kind of like, dude, like, this is like not advantageous to me. So that's kind of my initial thoughts on rally scoring. What do you think about it?
Well, let's talk about like how's this going to change Major League Pickleball? You know, I think what we're going to see is we're going to see a lot more games that are close.
Yeah.
Just like you, I mean, it's maybe a little bit different than your traditional bracket and like a PPA tournament in that there is a team environment. So, you know, the idea is that not every team would be able to stack the deck. Now, we'll get into that a little bit later because that's kind of interesting to see how money can play into teams with deeper pockets could potentially have better teams, or just teams that, you know, before these changes were already stacked or already are also kind of set up
to have a bit of an advantage,
which we'll get into because there's a lot of changes into how these teams are going to change and evolve this year. But yeah, I think this changes things because, you know, you take like a bid in a call-in who last year they played on the same MLP team, honestly did not have a lot of success. They built Ben John's team to have Ben and Colin basically not lose.
Yeah.
Because then if Ben and Colin don't lose, then Ben is probably not going to lose in mixed and they're going to win at least two of their games. But Ben and Colin lost quite a bit. And I think that a lot of that had to do with rally scoring.
I agree.
Colin was very adamant about disapproval of the structure of the PPA, and he mentioned rally scoring.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, the structure of the MLP, and he mentioned rally scoring. And I think, you know, a lot of teams could hang around and then get hot at the end of the game and beat Ben and Colin. Where if you're playing a traditional side out scoring, you're going to see a team like Ben and Colin win a lot more games, like 11-3, 11-4, versus these other teams kind of being able to make late game runs.
This favors that style of play. And you know what? I will say, Annalene Waters has talked about rally scoring too, and she's always said, I prefer traditional scoring. Like, it does feel a little different. I know Real Stats came out with a statistic where they kind of claimed that there wasn't a difference between rally and traditional. I don't know how true that maybe feels, because playing it feels different to me.
Yeah, Real Clear Stats. Yeah, they came out with that. I agree, though. I prefer side-out scoring. I think I feel like I can go for more. You know, like you don't feel like – you already don't want to make mistakes when you play pickleball. But when your mistake could potentially, when you're not serving, really still cost you a point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just makes you not want to go for as much maybe. So, yes, maybe the points are longer. Maybe it evens the playing field, but I think, you know, it's just different. I agree. I think that this is going to be really fun to watch too, because we actually haven't seen side out scoring in the team environment.
No, and I'm very curious to see how this will play out. Now, they did say, I want to clarify this. It's back to traditional scoring for doubles and mixed, but it's going to stay rally scoring for the Dream Breakers. You're not familiar with Dream Breakers. These are basically singles games where each person has 4 points where they cycle in, they get 4 points, cycle out.
So let's like kind of continue talking about this, but let's also talk about this roster expansion piece. So originally you had teams of four, two guys, two girls. You saw this was teams were greatly affected in these last few years when it came to injuries.
Yeah.
I know like there were teams like, for example, Thomas Wilson to, I believe, the LA Mad Drops. That team was radically changed when that team was drafted a certain way. And then when he's a big piece of the team and he gets injured, that really affected them. They were kind of scrambling. They had AJ Kohler fill in. I think they had Blaine, I don't even know how to say his last name, Havanier. I don't even know how to say it, but they had to pull up people from Challenger. And it really affects the dynamic of a team. So I think now teams are going to be required in Premier to have six players. Mm-hmm. They have to have equal three guys and three girls.
Yeah.
And also within this, you know that there are, did you see this on there that now there are going to be 16 premier teams and only six challenger teams?
You know, I said it, but I didn't even write that, didn't register in my head.
What you said earlier, you were reading actually the playoff format.
Okay.
So in the playoff format, there's only 10 premier teams out of the 16 that will make the playoffs.
Okay.
And then the challenger, I believe all six challenger teams will make it into their playoffs. Yeah. But, you know, instead of the 16 premier teams. 16 premier teams and only six challenger teams.
We did all these players.
So it's the same number of players. So you're going to have
six.
So basically, six of the teams that are, I don't know exactly the math, but a handful of the premier teams, like I think four of the premier teams from last year are coming up to.
Okay.
Or of the challenger teams from last year are coming up to premier.
Yeah, but I'm saying every team is now required to have six players.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's the same. I'll have to go back and look. I don't know if it's the same at challenger.
So they're not adding any more players to the roster?
Yeah, they are adding more players to the roster.
I was going to say, you have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, isn't that just diluting the player field?
Yeah, well, this also gets into the other part of it, too, is that kind of what they were talking about is there's all these stipulations, too, on how you can be on a team. So you can be on a team only if you're signed. I think there's 88 players, I read, that are signed by the UPA. So I think what we're going to see is we're going to see quite a few more players sign contracts to the UPA.
Yeah.
And they also kind of had these requirements that, depending on your status last year, if you could remain on a premier team or if you're going to get dropped down. So every single team that's in premier has to drop at least one of their players.
Yeah.
They could drop all four if they wanted, but they have to drop at least one.
Mm-hmm.
And then in order to retain the players that they have to take however much that player cost in the first year of their contract or how much they cost in last year's draft.
Like what they drafted about.
And they have to pay half of that for the next 2 years. So basically for 3 years, three of the players on every team will be have 3 year contracts with that team. And then one of the players will have a 2 year contract. It's very confusing. You guys can go back and read this entire thing. We'll try to post a link to this in the description below, but it's on Major League Pickleball's website, all the updates that they did. So basically, going back to what we were talking about before, I don't know, again, I'm still kind of learning exactly how this is structured. It's honestly very confusing.
Yeah.
But all the premier, there will be 16 premier teams.
Yeah.
Don't know exactly what's going to happen, but there'll be 16 premier teams and only six challenger teams. And then on the premier teams, there will be six players. So, yes, I think we're going to see more people sign with the UPA. I think we're going to see a lot of challenger players that are going to be up at Premier. Now, maybe they won't start because that's another side of this, you know, is that these teams, I think the day of the game or like 24 hours before the game or like the day of, they have to set their lineups for the day. So they can't actually swap players out within a game.
Mm-hmm.
They could make changes within a day on who's going to beat that player. Unless, I think if there's an injury,
yeah,
they could.
It's interesting. I know you brought up the fact that, you know, they're going to have six players on the team, the injury policy. You know, they were saying part of that's because, like, last year, the subs, because there were injuries, like, Anderson Scarpa, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
He played on, like, so many teams throughout the whole season. Like, he played for multiple teams because of a lot of different injuries. Do you think the sub system is a good idea?
What do you mean?
Just to, like, have a sub just in case someone's injured or whatever.
Yeah, I absolutely do. But I think when it comes to someone like Scarpa, so basically certain players are going to be eligible for free agency and certain players aren't going to be eligible for free agency.
Yeah.
So basically, certain players will go into this free agency pool, and some of that has to do with what happened last year. So if you were drafted to a premier team last year, you would have to get dropped from your team in order to be eligible. but also depends on like someone like Scarpa. I don't know if he ever came up to Premier last year. He might have for one tournament.
I don't know. I think he was mostly challenged.
Depending on where you started or ended the year, depends on if you're eligible for free agency or not. And then also if you have a UPA contract. So again, it's pretty thorough.
Yeah.
If you want to go read about it, go read about it on MajorLeaguePickleball.net, I believe.
Hey guys, real quick, I did just want to take a minute to mention Selkirk's newly released Court Strike and Court Strike Pro pickleball shoes. The reason I love these pickleball shoes so much is because they were specifically designed and engineered just for pickleball. Now, shoes I was kind of playing with in the past were made for tennis or other racket sports, or I even made the kind of amateur and rookie mistake for a while to play pickleball in tennis shoes, and honestly that just didn't end well. So the fact that these shoes were so thoughtfully designed for pickleball was really comforting to me. Not only that, they're really comfortable out of the box and they provide great lateral support for that lateral movement that we all need in pickleball. So if you're interested in getting yourself some of the new Court Strike or Court Strike Pro pickleball shoes, head over to selkirk.com and get your favorite color in your size today.
I have a question, personal preference question. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they just rolled out this new, because this is like a kind of hot topic, this new requirement that all players have to be signed by the UPA.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that update?
Sounds very UPA.
Elaborate.
I think it's clear at this point that the UPAA is a for-profit company, and they are trying to create a monopoly in the sport. They're trying to create FOMO. I think that, if there's going to be players that, but there's also the other side of it, like in the main draws, this whole Vivian Glossman issue where, apparently they changed that. But for a while recently in the PPA, like unless you were assigned UPA player, you didn't automatically make it to the main draw. Mm-hmm. And so basically there's all these perks. What I'm getting at are these perks that are associated with being a UPA signed player. One of them is that you get to play Major League Pickleball. I do. I think they're trying to win the majority share of the players.
Yep.
And ultimately, if I have to put it plainly, they're kind of trying to squash out the APP. They're trying to squash out other.
I was going to say. So, I mean, I don't.
Which have, I get why they're doing it.
I don't have a contract. I don't have an MLP contract. I don't have a UPA contract. I wish I did. It would be interesting to see it. But I'm assuming if they sign with the UPA, they're not allowed to play APPs.
I don't believe so. I believe.
Right? So, like, what about your players like Megan Fudge,
mm-hmm.
Susanna Barr, Will Howells, Jack Monroe?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have all had a lot of success in the APP Tour.
And they're making pretty good money in the APP Tour.
And they're making good money. And the reality is, they wouldn't have that level of success in the PPA. Maybe that's hard to say, but like, I don't think they would.
Yeah,
probably right now in their career. Not saying they ever will. I'm obsessed with all those players.
Well, I think here's the thing that they have to realize too. This is going to go into a lot of their decisions. Is that a lot of these people, they could sign a UPA deal. They could get to play MLP, but a lot of those players probably won't start on an MLP team.
No,
they'll probably be bench players.
And that's what I'm getting at is I'm like, what do you do if you're somebody like a Megan Fudge who is such a beast? She's incredible at singles. She's a great doubles player. She's had a lot of success in the APP Tour. She was on the Chicago Slice,
mm-hmm.
and they won, right? Challenger?
I can't remember. I think that. I can't remember if they pulled it out.
They had a lot of success.
And a big run. Yeah.
In Challenger, she's a great player. What does somebody like Megan Fudge do?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that puts an interesting decision in their hands because do you stay making pretty good money, stay having success at the APP? Do you believe in the APP's product more? Do you believe that the UPA is bound to implode? Like, there's probably a lot of insider things that they know that it's going to help them make that decision. But ultimately, I think it's how important is it that they can play MLP? Do they think that these changes to MLP will legitimize MLP and make it better and grow? Because then they're also not just committing to MLP, but they're committing to the PPA Tour.
Yeah, exactly. And I just think it's really, if I were to just speak really plainly and just talk as a consumer of pickleball, like I'm somebody that I love to watch for pickleball. I think it's interesting. It's fun. I'm a big fan of a lot of these players. To me, it's really sad to think of MLP without the APP crew of players. Like, I'm like, okay, so, you know, we have our top PPA players. Arguably, yeah, that's the top talent in the game. I'm not going to, like, sit here and pretend like it's not. It is. But if the APP crew is like, you know what, we're having a lot of success in APP, we're not going to sign UPA, I'm like, okay, well, now they're adding a 16 roster. Who are we grabbing for all these extra players that they need signed? We're just diluting the pool more and more and more. Like, it's just...
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think, you know, at the end of the day, there's 16 teams and there'll be two players added to each roster. So that's another 30-something players. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those players will probably come up from Challenger. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be a lot of the same names. I mean... depending on if they sign at the UPA or not. I think what you're going to see is the Challenger level, you're going to see a bunch of new names.
That's what I'm saying, though.
Yeah.
Like the Premier, you're going to see your Challengers step up and be bench. I don't know what to call it. Your subs, whatever.
And maybe there's more strategy as a GM of a team. Maybe you feel like in this particular matchup, you actually like the strength. Maybe you're playing a team that's really good at a dream breaker and you realize that your best matchups, your team actually isn't fit to win. And so you actually want to start this player over that player, or this player is maybe not feeling so hot. They're having an off weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, there's maybe different things that make the actual management of the team more vital. And also what I think this brings up is the need to scout new talent, which I think is a good thing in the sense that that's one of the reasons I've liked MLP, is because you have the Mari Humbergs of the world that they were really able to break in to, you know, like put themselves on the map, right? And I think that there is a big barrier to entry right now because of the way that these main draws are set up at the tour style events.
So if you have to be signed and to have all these perks.
So potentially we're going to see maybe the need for scouting new talent to enter kind of with the expansion of rosters.
Yeah.
But it's going to ultimately come down to, do these players want to take a chance on the UPA, even if they're playing, you know, but I get it. If they're playing like a bench or backup role, but when they are, you know, all it takes is one injury. I mean, you'll never wish for someone on your team to get hurt, but all it takes for one injury, and now you're on the main stage.
Yeah,
you know, and you probably wouldn't have gotten to the main stage had you not been amongst the best. So, I mean, there's different ways to look at it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see kind of what that APP crew ends up deciding.
Yeah, and it's interesting. So another thing that we kind of were talking about in regards to these new changes is, like we kind of mentioned before, every premier team, so the way kind of free agency, I see it playing out, every premier team is going to have to release at least one player. Now, there's going to be a couple things that determine who they release. So they're going to either A, release the weakest player, or they're going to release the team that, or the player that may be the biggest liability to them. And that could be financial as well.
Yeah, right.
So you're going to have some players, maybe there's players that cost them a lot of money, cost them that they drafted them early on in last year's draft. And so they had to bid more money for them. But if they actually let that player go to free agency, they're clearing up a lot of money in their cap space to actually go out and buy another person from free agency.
Right.
Because again, and I believe I read that all players that started the year in Challenger last year are worth $0. So you actually don't have to pay.
Shut up.
You actually, at least for the first year, because they didn't, there wasn't a bid associated with
them. No, you're right. I didn't even think about that.
So if there's a really high level up and coming Challenger player that didn't get drafted to Premier last year, now it's an incentive financially to have them on your Premier roster because they're not costing you money. So there's going to be this big thing when in here the next couple of weeks, we're about to start seeing players get dropped. And so it's going to be big because, like, I take a team like, let's take the St. Louis Shock. So the St. Louis Shock
It's Anna Bright.
You know exactly who they're dropping, right?
Hold on, it'll be rememberable. Anna Bright, Hayden, who is it?
Gabe.
Gabe and?
Kate Fahey. Who are they dropping?
It's
easy.
Kate.
They're dropping Kate Fahey. Yeah. I mean, they have Anna Bright, Gabe Cardio,
and anyone else.
So Kate Fahey, I'm sorry, but you're getting dropped.
Yeah.
And that's interesting because now they have to go out and maybe they can drop Kate Fahey and then they can outbid for her in free agency. Yeah. But it's just it creates a whole new dynamic when you have this money piece associated with how teams are structured, because there could be teams that just didn't do well and they drop three of their four, they just keep one player and then they build in free agency or they trade. So it's going to be interesting.
It is what kind of wild to think about. It would be exciting to be a GM and crazy at the same time, trying to figure out like how to structure.
Yeah, and then this year they're having like they have multiple different, they're calling them trade windows. So they have set times that they can make trades, and then when the trade windows are open, trades can go through. When they're closed, they can't go through. And then they're also, they've structured the league this year, which I kind of like the way that they're doing it. They're, you know, I like this. We haven't really talked about this, but I like that this is, you know, last year it was like MLP went all year round pretty much. And this year.
Yeah. Which I did not like that.
This year it's a season.
Yeah, I like that better.
So it's, I think it's April to August.
Yeah.
So it's like basically in the summer. It's basically like half of the year. April to August, you know,
it's going to be way better.
And so there, it creates also an off season, which is very big for sports teams to make trades and develop and train and things like that.
Question on that. I haven't combed through that document fully. Is this back to the structure where it's a point system, or is it the same structure? Like there's a point system.
Yeah. So the way that the way the season's going to work is there is a point system. They're also doing a mid-season tournament.
Okay.
So there's, to my understanding, there's not going to be a winner after every event.
Okay.
But
which
there,
I didn't love, but.
But there, you didn't love that there wasn't.
Yeah.
So, but there are fewer events. Mm-hmm. So there are, I believe, 10 weekends.
Okay.
So 10 weekends from April to August.
Mm-hmm.
So. There's 10 events. Basically, there's a mid-season tournament that I believe contributes to points. And then there is 2 weekends, a round one and a round two of playoffs. And then they're doing what they call an MLP Cup. I don't know. So it's after the playoffs. So I don't know. It's some sort of big cup event at the very end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there are standings, I believe.
Okay. I'm assuming not then. Not every team's going to be at every event like it was last year.
I don't know that. I'm not 100% sure. I would assume if they're doing standings like that, maybe not.
Yeah.
There's probably 10 events, and maybe the teams only play 8 of them or something. I don't really know exactly how it's going to work. But yeah, there's a lot of changes. If you guys want, you guys can go check this out at majorleaguepickleball.net. We'll link it in the description, but big things happening, and it's interesting to see. I'm excited to see how it shakes out and see how it goes.
Excited too. I think if I'm being just really honest, I was a little disappointed last year with MLP and just what I know it could be, and so I'm excited that they're making changes.
They needed to. I mean,
yeah.
There was a lot of concerns even last year about like players' effort and players' buy-in.
Yeah.
And I think it's going, them shaking the rosters up, you know, ownership and the GM kind of having to be a little bit more involved, them having a deeper roster.
Yeah.
I think not being all year,
yeah,
I think would be huge.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel as special when it's like there's an MLP that every whatever.
Again, it's like every sport that's out there, there's most team sports.
Mm-hmm.
There's an off season, and that allows for changes to be made. That allows for free agency deals. That allows for player development, scouting. You know, a lot of different things can happen in the off season, and I think it makes. And then also, I don't know if you noticed, but they're kind of basing every event that happens throughout the year is like basically centered around where the teams are headquartered.
Yeah.
So kind of, you know, you'll have a season tournament in Arizona. One of the weekends will be in Arizona, and Arizona Drive will be like the host team of that event.
Yeah.
So they're kind of trying to create fan bases and things like that.
Yeah,
as well.
Which I think is cool. So last fun question I kind of have for you. The winner of MLP season last year was the name?
Texas.
The Dallas Flash.
Dallas Flash. This was JW, Georgia, Tyre?
Mm-hmm.
And?
Augie. Augie's gone. No, he is.
No, he is.
I don't even know. Is he signed?
I don't think so.
I don't know if he signed, so that might be another reason that, I mean, and again, they can try to come get him and
yeah,
and free agency, but they have to drop at least
one. So yeah, I was going to be taking drop, but yeah, you're right. Lucky.
That was your question?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think for a lot of these teams, it's very obvious, unless there are teams where, you know, you potentially have a person that you invested a lot of money and cap space into that didn't perform.
Yeah.
So in that case, they could say, you know what, we're going to cut our losses. We're going to take this money and we're going to go try to get the best player in free agency.
And you wonder too, how much are you picking up a player, not necessarily because of where they're at, but they're where they could go, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think we're still going to see, I mean, I think we're still relatively early. We're going to see a lot of talent continue to flood into the sport, which will be fun.
Yeah. I'm excited. So it'd be fun to hear what you guys think out of all the changes. What are maybe ones that you're really excited about? What are ones that you aren't excited about? I'm most interested at what people think about the scoring format. I've probably heard convinced back and forth on that. So you guys should let us know in the comments below.
Just a side thought. I wonder, you've played a minor league.
I've done leagues too, yeah.
So minor league is like the amateur, non-pro version of major league where you're on a team.
Yeah.
And I wonder if the minor league events will also be side-off scoring instead of broad scoring.
I also wonder that.
Because I've never, I've...
You still haven't played one.
I still haven't played one. I don't play many tournaments, man.
Speaks there.
But they're fun. I do wonder if that's going to follow or not.
Yeah. We'll see. Because that's another whole like logistical nightmare, I think, is that rally scoring games, like, they tend to end at the same time.
Yeah.
Because they go quicker.
Yeah.
But there can be side out games. There can be games that take 45 minutes. There can be a game that take 5 minutes.
Literally.
So it can make it difficult to like run.
Schedule
the tournaments out. But we'll see. I'm sure they've thought through all that.
Cool.
But guys, thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode where we kind of broke down the changes to MLP. If you're not already, like and subscribe. We've got some really fun episodes coming up that you don't want to miss. But thanks for hanging out with us today. We'll see you on the next one.